We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 8 today. We're going Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 8 is where we're going to start. And just a little perspective on what's happening here. This parallels with 2 Kings chapter 16. This is where the story of Ahab, who became king of Israel. And Ahab was a very wicked king. He's a king that the Bible says about him that he did not consider it trivial to commit the sins of his predecessor. He invented ways to sin, including worshiping the false god of Baal, amen, which we learn at camp, right? Not Baal, it's Baal, amen? And so, just this false worship of a false god. And so we see that. And so where we're at in this story, it's a period of time. If you know, you remember that the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern tribes of Israel, and then the southern tribe of Judah. And if you follow this story well, you know that eventually the northern tribe was taken into captivity, overrun, overcome by the Babylonians. And about this time, 750-ish, the southern tribe of Israel, which was called Judah, it is struggling as well. And they are facing so much despair and so much disappointment. And such a hard time. And so Isaiah speaks to the people, the voice here in verse 5, chapter 8. The Lord spoke to me again because this people has rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloah and rejoices over Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty flood waters. Not of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria, with all his pomp. It will overflow all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its overspread wings will cover the breadth of your land, Emmanuel. Raise a war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place. For both Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up this testimony of warning and seal up God's instruction among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Here I am and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instructions and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun in the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You know, what's going on here, as intense as it may be, and if you don't really have to be a Bible scholar to really track this, but let me sort of just give you a little bit of what's happening. Judah is facing much despair and frankly facing darkness. It's very bleak for them. And so Judah, what they decided they were going to do, they decided they were going to enter into an agreement with the Assyrians. They said, we will join ranks with the Assyrians and that will save us. And they wouldn't even, they didn't consult God. They consulted mediums and spiritists and these different people. Instead of going to God, they said, well, what should we do? They said, well, you should join ranks with the Assyrians. Eventually, the Assyrians would actually rule over them and control them. And so this is what God is saying. They begin to turn their hearts away from God. They got so distracted, so turned away from God. And I get it. They were fearful. Well, the northern tribe has been taken captive. We have to preserve what we have. And so we have to look after ourselves. And so instead of staying in covenant with God Almighty, they thought we've got to take things into our own hands. God is not enough. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like, well, you know, just the Bible's good, but it's not enough. God is not enough. I mean, well, you don't say it out loud, outright, but at the end of the day, we begin to have those moments of kind of going, you know, things are looking a little bleak and a little dark, and I just think I got to kind of take things into my own hands. Like trusting God, trusting his word, being consistent, being faithful, being devoted. That just seems to be working. I mean, the other nations seem to be prospering so much more. People around me seem to be doing fine without God and church and the Bible and all this commitment and devotion and all of this stuff. Everybody seems to be getting along pretty good. And so this is where Judah finds itself. They're in a situation. It's dire. Spiritually, politically, and emotionally. The people were immersed in deep darkness. 8:19 says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists, should not my people inquire of God? These practices, they were borrowed by the pagan nations. But all they were just, you know, they didn't consult God. They just began to practice what everyone else was doing. Because sometimes, doesn't it feel good to just be normal? I just want to be normal. I just want to be like everyone else. Teens, come on. Don't you ever feel that way? Like, I just want to be normal. I don't want to be the kid that, you know, steps out. I mean, everybody's got Jordans. I want Jordans. Are y'all looking at me like you don't struggle with fitting in? Okay, amen. I do. And I definitely did when I was your age. I mean, they're just trusting in something other than God. But they're desperate. You know, when you're desperate for clarity in your life, when you're desperate, you will go to whatever sources you can find. I just need some clarity. I feel desperate. I need clarity in my marriage. I need clarity when it comes to my kids. I need clarity with this. And so whatever it takes, you'll spend it. You'll invest in it, whatever it takes. And I think that's where the people were. They were desperate. And God was just taking too long. Come on, God. We need you to respond. Now, politically, things were really bad. Situation was equally bleak. Israel and Syria had formed an alliance to, you know, they were going to, at first they were going to try to resist Assyria. Rather than turning to God, they thought, well, we'll just form some alliances with some other people that are going to help us. And God says, you know what he says? He says, I'm going to let the king of Assyria come in and sweep you up. You will be up to your neck with Assyrians. They will drown you and overwhelm you. And you will learn not to turn to anything other than me. That ever happened to us, right? You ever get yourself entangled in something? You thought it was going to be good for you, but at the end of the day, it kind of like, you know, I am drowning with whatever this might be. You took it upon yourself to get into that relationship or to take that job or to do that thing or to get in. But at the end of the day, you're like, man, all of this is distracting me. I can't even get to church. I can't go to midweek. I can't get anywhere. I'm just drowning with all of this stuff. Because really, God isn't enough. You ever feel that way? I feel that way sometimes as well. Darkness. Isaiah announces, in the midst of all of this darkness and despair, he says, I know things seem bad. And you know, and here's the thing. It's easy to kind of focus on the things that the Israelites were focused on. You see, I believe we have our own sort of things that we depend on. We depend on sort of modern geopolitical powers as well. But it looks like those of us that have sold ourselves out to the, yeah, I'm going to say it, Democratic Party or the Republican Party or movements or these people, whoever they might be. And we sometimes, we give into various conspiracies. I was talking to one of my minister friends. He says one of his members, longtime member, got so caught up into one of these, I think it was a YouTube channel or a website or whatever it was, but it was one of these strong, you know, winged, I'm not going to say which wing, but one wing. I'm going right, so maybe you think that's right. Anyway, whatever it was, he was really into it. So much so that he became convinced that the federal government was coming to get him, and so he left the church. Bought some land out in the field and is building a bunker because the government's coming to get him. Because God says, Isaiah says, God says, don't call conspiracy the things they call conspiracy. If you trust me and you believe in me, then you won't be so fearful about, well, they're coming. The system's against us. They're trying to kill us all. They're after us. When people of faith, they just go, well, then let them come. Let them come. I'm ready to meet my God at any time, any way, man. Then let them come. But boy, when you give in, it's like that it's against you. It's interesting to hear people that say to me even now that somehow there's a conspiracy for the storm to hit North St. Louis. I'm going, how? Would the government have worked that out? I don't even understand how that could have happened. I don't think our government people are that spiritual to pray, God, please, let the storm come to North City. I don't think that, but it's all part of the plan. I'm like, I don't know. I can't get down with that. You know what I'm saying? You know, but this is, when you give in to these geopolitical groups and movements, then you will believe whatever they tell you. And so then we find ourselves just deeply entrenched in nationalism or political parties or capitalism. And be careful that you don't go the route of militarism, or however you say that, but where the military is most important as well. But even these global tech empires, it's interesting to me to watch over time how many of these global tech, they are now starting to control what is ethical. They're starting to tell us what is right and what's wrong, what's ethical, what's not ethical. And they're controlling it through many ways, like you can get a job here if you will do this or surrender to this or come alongside that. Are you with me? But they are starting to control the narrative of what is right and wrong. Educational institutions. Man, how many times have we given ourselves into that? We've given ourselves over this idea that degrees are more important than discipleship. Wow. Oh, we're guilty of that in St. Louis. Where did you go to high school? Well, why? Do you want to know? Because it's all about the school district, isn't it? God forbid if I would end up, if little Johnny or Sally ends up in the not so perfect school district. They need the absolute best, amen? But I mean, if we're not careful, we also become like Judah. And it really is a little bit how we operate. And so we're walking around constantly and we're looking to this earth, said, hey, please help me overcome darkness. But the earth can only produce darkness. At its best, it can only produce more and more and more darkness. But I love it that God, Isaiah says, though you are this way, though you are confused and distracted and walking around and groping in the dark, or as Tony said, firing guns in the dark. I like that. Though you are groping in the dark, it says a light will appear. A light will appear. A light will shine and break through and provide you with what it takes to overcome the despair. And that light is Jesus, amen? Amen. And that is what we are. We are that light of Jesus, amen? Amen? That is who we are. That's what we were doing yesterday. We were out letting our light shine. Amen. And when you do things like that, you can't help but get a little bit closer to Jesus. You can't help but a little bit. It's those moments that the Lord's looking down at you. And I took pictures as we're walking around together, collectively. And I love Hadrian. Hadrian goes, hey, let's pray. And we got this big circle, and we're all praying together. And it's great to see us fellowshipping together. And there were some anxious moments and some bizarre moments. And there was a moment when I got a little bit worked up. I need to apologize to Corey. Because I was trying to get something organized, and Corey was in a playful mood, and I basically said, you know, stop talking. You sin publicly, you confess it publicly, amen. But you did need to stop. No, just kidding. But it was great overall. I mean, we were working together, and there were some funky moments, you know, like the line was weird. We had things going in the wrong place, and everyone was going, what do we do? But in the end, it all worked out. We got everything assembled right, and then everything began to flow well. And people were serving, smiles on their face, and giving. That's being a light. But, you know, we're always a better light together than we ever are individually. Amen? We are so powerful and beautiful when we're together. And not many of us in those moments are fretting or worrying about this world. And we weren't caught up in any kind of weird geopolitical thing. We weren't depending on anyone else. We were just out there being disciples of Jesus. So I guess if I would leave you with a challenge and a charge, God is going to provide us with more moments like this in the future. This is but one of many opportunities we will get to serve and to be a light. But I'm going to tell you, our enemy is constantly trying to confuse us. Our enemy is constantly trying to distract us. Our enemy wants us groping in the dark. Our enemy wants us fretful and worried about the things that the rest of the world, and worshiping those false gods and depending on many of the various types of mediums that are out there that make life easier, more convenient. Is that not? We know, well, we're going to go to this God because it's just easier. And discipleship is so much harder. I want to encourage you to stay the path. If you've gotten a little lost in your covenant relationship with God, and I know there's some of us that have, and maybe if you go, I don't even know what you're talking about, a covenant relationship with God, I want to encourage you to ask someone, hey, can we talk a little bit more about that? Do you guys do any Bible studies or anything like that? Because everyone in here is equipped with a Bible, and they can sit down and study the Bible with you. Amen? But I want to encourage you to renew your covenant relationship with God. Just like our brother Greg Oberg is about to do here today. Greg has been studying the Bible with Jesse Martin. And so we're going to turn our attention over to the baptistry as Greg Oberg prepares to make Jesus Lord of his life as soon as we get the mic on.